What do you put your hope in? The message out there on the sign is hope for the future. When you think about the future, what hope is there? You look at our world today and you wonder about that with everything being so uncertain. We're not sure exactly what to put our hope in. People try all kinds of things. I think eventually our stock market's going to come back. I know, as I've talked to many of you, that you've been hit pretty hard by that. Maybe that's not the most secure thing to put your hope in. Certainly, it will come back, and for the long term, I think it's probably the way to go. Some people put their hope in other people, family members. There is an aspect of that that rings true, that needs to be done. But when it really comes down to your heart and your soul, what are you putting your hope in? Today we're going to talk about that, but it's kind of an interesting discussion that gets us to that point. You see, the Apostle Paul traveled to a city, started a church, and then he was chased out of that city. He could only stay there for a short period of time. While he was there, there were people that began to grow in their walk with the Lord. Then he left, and it wasn't for quite a while later that Timothy came back. And Timothy shared with these new believers the information that Paul had given him, that the Holy Spirit had given him. It was in the form of a letter. They had some questions. One of those questions was, we had people that came to faith in Jesus Christ, who put their trust in Him. And Paul, since you've been gone, at least one, maybe more of them have died. What happens to them? What hope can we have, especially about death? And Paul writes back, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, answers that question, but what he'll do, and what we'll talk about this morning, is he leads us into a discussion about a future event, an event that is called the rapture of the church. What we're going to do this morning is take a couple of moments and talk, first of all, about hope, but more than that, talk about this event called the rapture of the church. Where does it come from? And really, what will its impact be? What I'd like to do is show you a video clip this morning. Now, this is from the series Left Behind. This is a possible reenactment of some of the impact of this event called the rapture. So we're going to take a couple minutes and look at this in terms of what it might be like. And it's probably going to be much worse than this when this event happens.
Ray.
Boy, that was perfect timing, huh?
Ray, people are missing. Dozens of seats, empty.
Patty, it's a big airplane. People are probably in the lab.
I'm telling you, they're not here. They're not anywhere, okay? Their shoes, their clothes, their glasses, crazy. They're left behind. The people are gone.
Be right back.
I am not nuts, Ray. Go look for yourself.
They haven't gone far. Please just take your seat. Patty, help me, please.
Sit down. We'll find them.
Not me next. I'm not going next.
Patty,
try and get a handicap.
No,
Les.
Where are they?
I can't get out of here. Let's get on this plane right now. Help.
No, no, no.
Don't press. No, no, no.
I just want to apologize for missing the party this afternoon. Oh, no. Are you okay?
Driver, there's just no driver in there. There, there.
It's okay, sir. You're in shock.
Driver there.
Mom!
Listen, please, we are at 37,000 feet. Nobody just walked off this airplane. If I can get you to just take your seats, we'll handle your problems one at a time. Please.
We've got to get these people back in our seats and start emergency procedures.
Sam, is there? What happened?
Just do it. I need you to do this. Just do it. Heidi, get over here. Patty, I'll help.
Sit down. Everyone, sit down and take your seats. Okay, help us, please.
Come on, let these people do their job.
I'm going to find her.
Passenger emergency oxygen mask.
The cabin pressure's fine.
Then we'll go back.
Do it now.
But Ray,
I said do it now.
Mayday, this is Pan Con Heavy, 907, Mayday.
Ray, what is going on?
Concord 2701, I assume you're missing passengers too?
That's affirmative, Concord. What's going on?
I don't know, but it's everywhere.
Say again?
LaGuardia, Morley, lost air traffic controllers, missing flight crews, planes down all over.
Return them back.
Okay. Just think of an event like this that could happen, no, will happen, called the rapture of the church. This is very mild compared to what will happen when that event takes place. But how do we know that event is going to take place and what leads us to that conclusion? Well, that's part of our study this morning as we continue in this series. We have been talking about the book of 1 Thessalonians. And in this book, we talked about the key verse is verse chapter 5, verse 23, and the key word is the word sanctify, to set apart to God. And what exactly does that mean? And what we've been doing is working through various chapters to get to this point. We started out talking about sanctify means to be encouraged in our faith. And the first couple of chapters, we talked about growing in our faith, in our prayer, in our boldness, those things. Last week, we talked about exhorting us to grow in love. And that was chapter 4. And we talked about what does that mean? Biblical love, brotherly love, and we talked about sexual love last week in this whole discussion. Today, we are continuing on, and sanctification means to establish us in our hope. You need to be established in your hope. And that's what we're going to be sharing this morning. We're in a series. It's entitled what? Together. It's entitled? Very good. This is God's idea, living God's way. Today we are talking specifically about hope for the future. We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible, let me encourage you. Open it up to page 836, where we are going to be. And we're going to continue to talk about this very interesting subject that the Apostle Paul wrote back to the Thessalonian believers about. Okay? We're only going to look at about 5 or 6 verses, but they are important verses. Here we go, chapter 4, verse 13. So Paul now is answering this specific question, what happens to believers that have died? And he says this, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. He says, we don't want you to be ignorant. We have an answer for those who die. Now, it's interesting, in the New Testament, they use the word asleep. And it's the idea of restful peace or slumber, but it's the word actually means death or to die. They just use that particular word here. And it has to do with the death of someone and those who are in Christ, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You see, probably one of the toughest things I do are funerals and memorial services. And I have done memorial services where I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the people that I'm doing the service for are believers in Christ. And we have this passage to answer some questions about this. But there have been times when I've done services where I just don't know if those folks were believers in Christ, and God is a righteous judge, He'll set all that straight one day. But He is going to answer this. The point being, you have hope at the death of a loved one. You can take hope. You can have comfort. And let me tell you why. It's in verse 14, and this is kind of an interesting way to answer that. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. Now, this is let me just explain this in a little different way than the verse is written here. We can have hope because God will raise departed saints. Those who are in Christ, God will raise them at a future date. Now, why? Why do we know that? Well, we know that because of what Jesus Christ did. And this is so important about the resurrection. It is an authenticated fact that Jesus Christ arose again. Because He arose, we who are in Christ will also be raised. That is the thinking here. The verse, as you read this, I know it's a little bit complicated, but the reason we know is because Jesus Christ arose for us. Look, here's the reasoning. Number one, God raised Jesus. Saints are in Jesus. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, the term is called to be in Christ. You are in Christ. So saints will be who are in Jesus. God will raise the saints. The reasoning again, one more time, God raised Jesus. Saints are in Jesus, so God will raise the saints. That is the reasoning. That is the hope that we had. Now, if He would never have come back from the dead, then we have no hope. And that's what's so important about verse 14. He did come back from the dead. He arose, and because of that, we will at some day go with Him. Kind of like this. I'm going to give you an analogy. When I was traveling back and forth from Southern California, this church, to Northern California before we sold our home, one of those trips, I was given two little pets. They were two little mini hamsters. You know, the little ones that can just sit in your hand. They're real cute little things. One was called Scamper. The other one was called Nibbles. And so I told my family that I was given these two little mini hamsters. And they wanted to see the mini hamsters. So what I did is one of those trips that I went from Southern California to Northern California, I took their cage and I put their cage in my car. And then I drove for 8 hours to Northern California. I took those two little mini hamsters with me to Northern California. In the same way, because you are in Jesus Christ, He will take you with Him. You will be with Him one day. Now, I'm not drawing the analogy that all of you are mini hamsters, but I think you see the point. If you are in Christ, you will go. You will be with Him. All right, so on your outline then, let's write this. We have hope because, number one, God will raise departed saints. That is simply verse 14. God will raise departed saints. Now He goes on. Look with me at verse 15 as we continue. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. All right? So He's saying now God will raise departed saints. But the interesting thing about verse 15 is He's going to raise them first. They are going to be raised first. So, on your outline, number two, we have hope because God will raise departed saints first. And this is very interesting. This is the hope that we have. That those who have died in Christ will one day be raised again. Now, the interesting thing about this is, what happens to a believer at death? If you just look at this passage here, you can draw some conclusions. And many do that there's a condition called soul sleep. That when you die, your soul sleeps. And this is not teaching that, but there are those that draw this conclusion. What I'd like to do is just take a moment, and not all this information's on your outline. You can just write in some of these verses. But if we go there, what happens when a believer dies? And this is important. The first verse we're going to look at is a very well-known verse, 2 Corinthians 5:8. All right, read this verse with me. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body. Okay, it says this, we would prefer to be away from the body. That means on earth in our physical body. What happens when a believer dies? They go immediately at home with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8 tells us that. It's another verse, Philippians 1:23. Paul here is speaking, and he says this, hey, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart or die and be with Christ in heaven, which is better by far. What these two passages teach us is that at the moment a believer dies, their physical body remains here. It does, but their spirit, their soul, the real part of them goes somewhere else, and that somewhere else is where? Heaven. Goes immediately into the presence of the Lord. All right? We also have, in Luke chapter 16, we have a teaching here from the Lord that gives us a story that shows this in just a different way. There was a rich man, and there was a beggar named Lazarus. Some would say that this is a parable. It's not a parable because formal names are used. Jesus did not use formal names. He is teaching a spiritual truth here. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to where? Abraham's side, Abraham's bosom, if you've got a different translation. This is heaven. It's just another word used to describe that. What does it say also, though? The rich man also died and was buried in hell. The Bible also teaches that those who do not know the Lord as their Savior, at the moment of death, their physical body stays here, but their spirit or their soul goes to another place, and the Bible does call that place hell, a place of eternal torment apart from the Lord. What did Jesus say in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43? Here he's on the cross. I'm giving you just a number of verses here so you know what this is talking about in terms of what happens when a believer dies. Luke 23, 43. Jesus is on the cross. One of the thieves says to him, you know, remember me when you come into heaven. At that moment, I believe that thief believed in who Jesus Christ was. Jesus' answer to that thief was, Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth. Not tomorrow, not the next week. Today, you will be with me where? In paradise, another word for heaven that Jesus used. Luke 23:43. So, what is 1 Thessalonians 4 talking about? This is a tough passage, and believe me, I spent time in a number of different commentaries, a number of different explanations for this. Maybe one way to explain this is to say some shell, some remains of the physical body is here on the earth. Now, for us, that's kind of a wild thing. Think about over the centuries what's happened. Wars. People have been killed and destroyed. Believers have their bodies. There's nothing left. The catacombs in Rome. Shipwrecks, airplane crashes. There might not be nothing left of that body, that physical body. For us, it's a little problem. For God, it's nothing. It's not. Good night. If He created it all, what happens then? Is some part of that comes up from the ground to meet the Lord in the air. That's probably the most reasonable explanation I've had. That person, when they died, they went to be with the Lord, but whatever has remained, something comes up. I've heard it described as maybe a shell or something like that. It's a difficult section. This is the most commonly asked question, though, coming out of 1 Thessalonians 4. I think that's about as well as I can do from that in explaining this. Now, what Paul is going to do from this point is give us the most detailed description of the order of events at the coming of Christ. And he's going to describe this event called the rapture. Now, all of this takes place. How long does it take place? Just in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians tells us that. All right, so look with me now at verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Here we're back to talking about that. All right, so the Lord is going to come. Now, this is very, very important. When the Lord comes at this event, the rapture of the church, he comes in the air. He does not come to the ground. Two different events here. The rapture of the church, he comes down in the air, in the clouds, and he does not come and stand on the earth. That is the second coming. You've got to keep those events separate. What we are talking about here is the rapture of the church. Okay, so the Lord will come. Some kind of a command or summons will be given by maybe an archangel. We know of at least two archangels in the Bible. We have Michael and Gabriel. They may be the ones giving this command. Then the trumpet call of God will go forth. And if you've ever, well, not all of you could have, but at Promise Keeper meetings, they have had trumpet calls, and it means to call or to assemble people. And that's the idea here, that some kind of horn or trumpet will blast, and there will be an assembly. Then it says the dead in Christ will rise first. Now, why do they go first? I've heard it said, well, maybe it's because they have 6 feet further to go. I don't know. That's the explanation they gave me. You have 6 feet further to go. I don't know. But this is an amazing event that takes place. All right, back to your outline now. We've given you a couple of things. Four events at the coming of the Lord. Okay, and the first one is the Lord. Whoops. You know what? I forgot something. Let's see. Okay. I know why. Ow, I can't believe I forgot that. Hey, I blew it. Oh, well. All right. No, I'm not going to start over. Okay. What I did at this point is said, I have done a message on soul sleep. I have done a message dealing with that subject related to this passage. And you can get that message, and you get to it in this way. Go to our website. Log on to it at lakehillschurch.com. That's our address. If you then go to messages, as you navigate down the one side, it'll say messages. Then it will say past messages. You can go into that. Then I've done a series called Left Behind 1 and Left Behind 2. Go to Left Behind 1. And there's a message there that's in outline form that you can get entitled, What Happens When I Die? So go to our website. That will take you through that other message that I did a while back, dealing with this subject, dealing with soul sleep, reincarnation. I dealt with a number of different subjects in that particular message. But you can just go there and download it, and that's one of the things we want you to be able to do from our website. Okay, now that we stepped in for that commercial, let me step back out and go back to where I was at. Can't believe I forgot that. All right, here we go. Four events at the coming of the Lord. You're back on your outline now. The Lord will come, verse 16. Very simple. I try and state the obvious sometimes. The dead will be raised, and that's also verse 16. Now, let's look at verse 17. Back to your Bible. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Do you understand? The rapture is an event that will take place in the clouds. That's very important. To meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord for how long? Forever and ever. Okay, we who are alive. Did Paul expect to be alive at the rapture of the church? We who are alive. Yes, he did. Paul expected to be alive at the rapture of the church. That's very interesting. And we'll talk about that a little more in just a second. He says, we will be caught up. Now, the word rapture is not in your Bible. The word caught up means to be raptured. And we use that word to describe it. And the idea here is that it's in the clouds. We will meet the Lord in the air. This is not when the Lord comes back and stands on the earth. This is an event before that, the rapture of the church. We will meet him in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Okay. Point C on your outline. We who are alive will be raptured. And Paul thought he was going to be raptured. He thought he was going to be caught up to be with the Lord forever. And he didn't. He died, and he is in the presence of the Lord, but he did not. He was not here for the rapture. And point D, we will be with the Lord forever. We will be with the Lord forever. And that is a great hope and a great expectation that we have, and we rejoice in that. Now, when we talk about this event called the rapture of the church, it is related to the event called the tribulation. The question is, when does the rapture occur? There is a popular belief that says the rapture will occur first before this time of 7 years called the tribulation begins. That is one position. There is another belief that says we as believers will go halfway through the tribulation and be raptured up halfway through. They call that the mid-tribulation view. And then there are even those that believe we will go as believers all the way through the tribulation and be raptured at the end. Well, which one is it? And this one's been debated, and it will continue to be debated. Let me just share a couple of thoughts with you this morning on that subject. Okay, why pre-tribulation? Before this seven-year period called the tribulation begins, why do we believe that we will be caught up to be with the Lord before this? Well, there's a couple of reasons. And the first one has to do with being spared or spared from God's wrath. This period of time called the tribulation, this 7 years, is a time when God is pouring out His wrath on the earth. And it's like you've never seen. If you're reading the books and following these things, it's unbelievable what God's wrath, how it's being poured out. Now, how do we know we're going to be spared from God's wrath? Well, there's a couple of verses. One of them is Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. And all this is not on your notes. If you want, you just need to write it down and do that. Here's Revelation 3:10. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I will keep you from the hour of trial. If you read it in New King James, it says it a little differently, that you will be spared from God's wrath. Revelation 3:10. Next week, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 12, that verse, I think it's either 9 or 10, we'll talk about this again, the fact that we're going to be spared from God's wrath. Okay? That is one reason. There are a number of other verses. I just chose Revelation 3:10 as one of them. Okay, what other ideas do we have that keep us or help us focus on the fact that we're going to be taken out before the tribulation begins? The second one's the idea of imminency. Imminency. This is the idea Paul expected to go in the rapture, didn't he? Then we who are alive, and Paul thought he would be alive and go up in the rapture of the church. He thought he was going to be alive. The thought here is that there is nothing that has to happen before the rapture takes place. Nothing has to happen in the prophetic scheme of events. He can come at any time. Do you believe that? He can come at any time. And there's an interesting verse in James chapter 5 and verse 9. Interesting verse. It says, hey, don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. He said, you know what? Make sure you have your relationships right with other believers. Don't be nagging on each other or grumbling against each other, because the judge is standing at the door. He could come at any time. The point being, Jesus Christ can come at any time. And make sure that your relationships are right when He comes, because once He comes, He'll take us with Him. You want to have your relationships right. The idea of imminency. Nothing has to take place. Nothing prophetically has to happen before the rapture to take place. James 5:9 is a key thought. The judge, Jesus Christ, is standing at the door. All He's got to do is open it and He's there. And this event will take place. All right. Interesting thoughts. Verse 18. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words. And on the bottom of your outline, there's a little statement because you know this, because you know these truths, encourage and comfort one another. Comfort one another. Encourage each other. All right. Interesting little section. Paul taught baby Christians, new believers, these truths. This church had not been along, had not been established long, and he was teaching them these principles. The point is, our hope for the future is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And no matter how difficult and hard life is, he first of all will never leave you or forsake you. And second, he's our hope. At any time. It could be tonight. You know, it could be before we take the offering today. Amen. It could be at any time that he comes. The question is, are you prepared? There is only one way to prepare for this, and that is to personally accept him as your Savior, to receive him. If you've not done that, it's just very simple to do that. Don't let happen what happened to these people. Basically, they got left behind. What the Bible teaches is, and in this series called Left Behind, there are 7 years of incredible pouring out of God's wrath on the earth. But our hope as believers is that we will be with him. We will be with him. Because Jesus Christ was raised, we will go with him. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this hope. Thank you for the comfort that we can take. Thank you that you are coming again. That we look forward to that. One day we will be standing before you in your glory, and the whole world will be there, and every knee will bow, every knee will bend to you. I pray this morning, Lord, if there's one that just doesn't know you, if they're not sure, that just by simply looking at that prayer on the back of our program, understanding we've sinned and that you forgive sin, thank you for that. I pray that you'll do a work in their heart and in their spirit, because we want to be ready for that day. Lord, as a church, we want to be active in giving this message of hope out. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for writing this section that helps give us a guidebook and directions in what we do. Thank you, Lord, that we can give to you, and we do that gratefully because of the many ways in which you've given to us. In Jesus' name. Amen.